Guys, good to see you this morning. If this is your first time here with us again, welcome to Bethel. My name is Lance. I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. So glad that you're here with us today. As you can see, we're beginning a new series today that's really going to run throughout the month of August entitled Civil War. So I really encourage you to be a part of this entire series. It's a series that's going to help us. It's a series that's going to help really understand kind of the process of God in our life. And I'm going to get to why we're entitling this series Civil War here in a moment. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read a couple of verses from Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. 25 through 30. The Bible says, at that time, Jesus declared, he's praying to God the Father. He says this, he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he starts talking to you and I. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, help us today. Allow us, Holy Spirit, to be attentive to what you want to say and speak through me, sir. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, that I expected when I got right with God for some things or some storms in my life to stop. I was really hoping, because I had a lot of stuff going on, that God was immediately going to calm some of the storms in my life. I remembered reading some of the Bible and seeing that Jesus, he actually calmed storms. He would speak to winds and waves and they would obey him. And so my thought is when I got right with God that God was going to immediately speak to the winds and waves of my life and put calm to it. But I found something different. He did calm some of the storms in my life, but in that I began to see that not everything, in a sense, was being still. I felt like there was this tug of war now going on the inside of me. And I didn't really understand what was going on. And so I end up going to Pastor Ron. Pastor Ron's one of our pastors here. And we were in Murfreesboro at the time. And I begin to ask him, what in the world is happening with me? Because I begin to think thoughts that I haven't thought about before. I begin to feel things from my past that I haven't felt before. All these emotions were going on the inside of me. And I'm thinking to myself, because I was a young man at the time, not so much now, Pastor Richard, I was a young man at the time, and I began to think, man, hold on, I'm a guy. I'm not supposed to have feelings. I'm not supposed to feel my emotions. What in the world is going on with me? I thought that I wasn't really born again, because I was thinking things and feeling things that made me think to myself, well, maybe I'm not right with God. I thought that they had brainwashed me. I'm thinking, something's not right with me. Did they brainwash me? Am I a part of a cult? What is going on? And when I got to Pastor Ron, I began to understand that there actually is a process that you and I go through when we say yes to Jesus. Now, I didn't understand this process. Therefore, what was happening is the enemy was using that against me. But as I began to understand this process, I began to understand why I was thinking some of the things that I was thinking, why I was feeling some of the things that I used to feel before I met Jesus Christ. And really, when we serve Jesus, there are phases, in a sense you could say, that you and I walk through. And if we don't understand those phases, a lot of us will get tired and just quit because we believe the lie of the enemy that, well, maybe you are not right with God. Maybe you're not right, therefore that's why you're thinking that way, or that's why you feel like that. And it's nothing more, no, you are right with God, it's just the enemy using the process of God really against you. And so what is that process, or what are the phases that God takes us through? Now, a lot of you guys may have heard of the word before. If you haven't, that's all right. The word justification. Justification. Justification, it sounds like a very smart biblical word, but it simply just means this, that you're free from the penalty of sin. You're justified. There is a penalty for you and I living in sin. Jesus on the cross paid that penalty, and when we say yes to him, we are freed from the penalty of sin. That's a good thing. But there is another part of this phase that's called sanctification. Justification is being free from the penalty of sin. Sanctification is being free from the power of sin. Now, justification happens immediately. When you give your life over to Jesus Christ, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, pronounces you justified. You're forgiven. It happens immediately. Well, if justification happens immediately, how long do you think sanctification, how long do you think that takes place in our life? That's exactly right. Ongoing battle. It takes a lifetime. Sanctification is to be set apart. You're being freed from the power of sin. You're being set apart from who you used to be. You're being sanctified. And the last one happens when Jesus Christ returns. It's called glorification. That is when we're free from the presence of sin. See, friend, the whole goal of God in our life, yes, is to bless us. But oftentimes we get that word blessing, we think about, well, God's going to make me rich. Man, hopefully he does. If he does, you can give right here at Bethel Community Church. But that's probably not going to be all of us. The ultimate goal of God in our life is that you and I would be conformed into his image. He's conforming us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. See, what I begin to see as I begin to learn about the process of God in my life, I begin to see that there is actually a battlefield or a battle going on for my soul, or better yet, for this series, a civil war going on the inside of me. My soul did not completely understand that it was born again. My heart knew it was born again. But my mind and my will and my emotions, they did not completely understand that Lance had now given his life over to Jesus Christ. Not only did they not understand, is they didn't completely want to give up control like my heart did. My heart had no problem, Lord, I love you, but my mind and my will and my emotions, man, they did not completely want to surrender over to Jesus. One of the biggest lies that we believe before we met Christ, and this is kind of like maybe an excuse that you used, I did all the time, before Jesus was Lord of my life, is when I would make a mistake or do something I know I shouldn't have done, I would use the excuse of, well, you need to forgive me because I was tempted. It was the temptation that caused me to do it. But the truth is, friend, is you have to be alive to be tempted. And the Bible is clear that when before Jesus comes to live on the inside of us, that we are dead. Dead people are not tempted. See, when we're dead, we're a slave to sin. Sin basically had a chain around my neck, and it took me everywhere it wanted me to go. I was a slave to it. There wasn't any temptation. I just did it because of my heart, my evil heart wanted to do it. It took something holy, something more powerful than me, something righteous to come on the inside of me to cause me to come alive. See, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. When we're born again, we come alive. Now that I am alive, now I have someone greater living in me, now, friend, I can be tempted. But yet, the Bible says that with that temptation, what does God do? He gives us an escape. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm free. I go from being a slave to sin now to being a slave, get this, to righteousness. Now there's a new power in me. And ultimately, Jesus, he's won the battle for you and I on the cross. But yet, because we live on this side of eternity, we like to call the nasty now and now, crazy stuff happens. Because we live on this side of eternity, that victory, even though Jesus has given it to us, is not yet fully received or fully walked in. Now, the mindset, though, that we have is this. I have the mindset and the posture of a champion. But yet, again, my mind, my will, my emotions, it takes a process for it to go through to be what? Conformed into Jesus' image. It takes time for us to receive this. Now, if I can be honest with you today, which I will, I wish God would have chosen a different way. Because I hate the sanctification process. I don't like it. I wish God would have chosen a different way to conform me into his image. God, isn't there an easier way than just me having to feel this battle on the inside of me? Why do I have to go through this civil war, in a sense, this tug between me conforming into your image, trying to get righteousness to become what rules and reign in my body, in my mind, in my heart, in my emotions? God, couldn't you just snap your fingers and say, man, let it be? Why did he choose to allow us to walk through being freed from the power of sin? See, if you don't understand this, I'm telling you, the enemy will use this against you because he has and he will try to do it to you. What you need to, let me give you a different way of thinking about this. Because a lot of us, again, the thoughts come of what used to be, and what do we begin to think? Well, maybe I'm not right with God. Maybe he really doesn't live in me. What about this? What about just getting another way of thinking about this? What if God allowed us to go through this process because he wanted to show you and I on a daily basis that you are worth fighting for? You're worth fighting for. Remember, before Jesus, there was no fight. There was no fight in me against sin. It took me being born again. Now he lives on the inside of me. Now I'm a slave to righteousness. And because he lives in me, guess what? The fight that I feel is Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, battling for me. Yes, I participate with him, but yet he leads the charge in my life. Every day when I wake up and feel this civil war inside of me, this battle for righteousness and holiness to reign in my body, in my mind, what about if that's a tangible reminder that Jesus has given you and I that he loves us and cares for us? Because think about your own life. You only fight for what you love and care about. You don't fight for things that you don't love. You don't fight for things that you don't care about. So what if this Jesus, that battling that you feel is not the enemy, it might be Christ saying, I'm pushing back the works of darkness in your life. I'm battling for you. I remember when my wife and I were going through our difficulties in our marriage and we were seeing a counselor. The only thing or the one thing that spoke to us the most was that we were willing to fight for one another. In the fight, we actually discovered, hey, we really do like one another. We really do want to be married. But what was it? It came through what? Our willingness to fight. You only fight for what you love and care for the most. This is even seen in the animal kingdom. Walk up to a mama bear. And she's about to tell you without words how much she loves and cares for her little cubs. She's going to show you. She's going to mess you up without having any type of language communicated. Her communication is what? In her fight. Let me tell you, human mamas are the same way. You want to see something come out of a mama? You better just mess with her little cubbies and watch what happens. I remember my wife and I have five children. And my little Darcy, who is our oldest, is 12 now. I remember she was 3 years old. She, poor little thing, when she was born, she was very colicky, so she cried all the time. I mean, all the time. It's amazing, Pastor Rich, we had four more. I mean, with that struggle, I mean, it was 3 months, champ. 3 months, she cried nonstop. The only way to get her to stop crying was turn her upside down and walk outside. Is that the weirdest thing ever? But she stopped. I spent a lot of time outside, brother, doing this. But she went from being colicky and crying to, oh, poor Darcy, to almost like, what happened to my little angel? She went to hell, you know, I mean, just crazy. One of the toughest things that we had with Darcy was trying to get her to lay down in her bed and sleep at night. And I remember when she was 3 years old. She was 3 years old, and I had had it. I was just frustrated. I couldn't get any sleep. I was miserable. And one night, here she is. She's screaming. She's crying. She's throwing a tantrum. Deanna goes in there. She's trying to calm her down. And she's sitting there, and I just finally said, I'm going in there. I walk in there, and when I walk in, I look at my three-year-old little girl, and it's like the devil is manifesting on the inside of her. No lie, she's, Aah! She's screaming. I'm thinking, that's the devil. My wife is sitting in this chair over here, and I walk in, talking about a mama with her kids. I walk in, and I am frustrated, and she saw it on my face. So I step to my daughter, Darcy, because I'm going to grab her and put her back in bed. When I went, I grabbed her, picked her up, and all of a sudden, I saw my wife. I had never seen anything like this happen before with my beautiful wife before. When I grabbed her, she is like the Incredible Hulk came out of her. She stood up and her face was like, I said, oh, Lord. She thought I was going to hurt her. She was about to go off on me. I grabbed her. I turned to my wife, Deanna, and she's like, and I put her right back down and walked right back out the door. I was like, I've never seen that before. What was it? It was a mama's fight. She didn't care if she loved Pastor Lance or whoever I am, love Lance. He's like, forget you, I'm protecting her. I was not going to hurt my child. Please understand that. Don't call anybody crazy. It's just the fact of the matter points to what? We fight for what we love and care about the most. Could it be that this tug of war that you feel, it's not that the enemy's winning. These lies that you hear, it's not, it's Jesus fighting for you. He's fighting for you. See, what does he say here in Matthew chapter 11? He says what? Come to me. Immediately, Jesus is showing us that his relationship to you and I is much different than our relationship with sin. Sin caused us to be a slave. It drug us around. Jesus here, it's an open invitation. He's saying, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you. I'm just simply saying this is an open invitation to me. Come to me. Well, who does he invite? He invites those who are weary, those who are struggling, those who are in pain, those who have a past, those whose souls are damaged because what has taken place in their life. I've heard the lie once. I've heard it 1,000 times. Well, I can't come to Christ because I got too much junk. Baby, let me tell you something. He takes you and your junk. Amen. Just like in marriage. When I got married to my wife, she took me and all of my luggage. When I came to the altar, it's not like I left my luggage, my past relationships, my life of sin. Let me tell you, I brought it all in with me, baby. It's the same with Jesus. He's saying, come to me, you and your junk. Just bring it all. He doesn't say, come to me, all you are perfect. All you got it together. No, he says, come to me. So the question is for you and I is, then what are we waiting for? Why are we waiting? Go to him. Yes, you can come to me as your pastor, but I'm here to tell you, I'm going to push you to him. I'm taking you to Jesus. Taking you to him. Now, when we come, he says the craziest thing, though. He tells us, he says, come to me. But he wants to give us something. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, most of us don't understand what the word yoke means because we didn't grow up farmers. But a yoke simply was a cross piece that tied two animals together, and it tied them to a cart. A yoke is a tool that is used to tie an animal, get this, to a burden. It's something, this yoke tied that animal to something that animal had to pull behind them. And many times, pretty much every time, whatever they were pulling was heavy for them. And so therefore, that yoke tied them to simply a burden. Remember this. Remember what we talked about already. That we either a slave to sin on this side of eternity, we're a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. So what that means is, and here's what Jesus is telling us here, is you are always going to be carrying a burden right here on this earth as you live this life. The question for us, are we going to carry our burden or are we going to carry Jesus' burden? Our burdens are heavy. We're not designed, friend, to carry the burdens of our past. Our past damages our soul. And your soul, and it's all right because every one of us are in the same position. Your soul could be damaged today because of what took place. Maybe what you were involved in or what has happened to you. Words were spoken, I don't know what it was. But every one of us come to Christ with a damaged soul. And Jesus loves every part of you. Every single part of you he loves. Not just those parts in a sense that we say go to heaven. He loves every part. He loves your mind, what you think about, the health of your mind. He loves what you're doing with your life, your will. He cares about your heart. He cares about how you feel. He cares about every single part of you. He wants to bring his kingdom, his power, his healing to every part of you. He cares. So our burdens are too heavy. Jesus wants us to take our burdens to him so that we can take upon his burden. Our burdens are heavy, but his burdens are light. He proved to us that he could carry our burdens because he carried a 300-pound cross to Golgotha. If he can carry that, friend, let me tell you something, he can carry whatever you're struggling with today. Amen. A lot of us, we walk in this life and we always feel like that we have to perform. And see, the burden of performance rests on every single one of us. Am I really accepted? Does he really care? When God, listen, God chose you. He adopted you. The Bible uses the word adoption. That picture of adoption. That means he chose you. He picked you out. And with his own blood, he signed your paperwork and said, he or she belongs to me. They're mine. Therefore, I don't always have to feel like I have to perform. If you're in a relationship where you feel like you have to perform, you're going to give up. Because it's too much. It's too much. I don't have to perform for him. He performed for me. Maybe he did it all for me. I simply receive what he's done. I walk in it. I accept it. This performance, it erodes on us. It weighs on us. Now, there is a side of performance that we all do enjoy. That's why we like to work. That's why we like to, if you play sports, like to play sports because it gives you a sense of victory. You perform. Therefore, what? You have a sense of victory. Maybe it's at a job. But we cannot carry that in every aspect of our life. It's too much. It's too much. But he wants to give us his burden. Now, the reason why, because he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The reason why it's light is because he helps us carry it. Just like anything. You guys know that have moved a lot. There's certain pieces of furniture in your house that you just despise moving. You're like, oh my gosh, I do not want to touch that thing again because it's heavy. And so what do? You call people, hey, let's get around this thing, because the more people you have, the lighter the object you're carrying it becomes. Jesus is the same. He helps us carry his burden. You know who else helps us carry his burden? Or helps us carry this burden, I'm sorry, other than Jesus? You do. This is why you're a part of a church family. We together carry the burden. That's why we're telling you, especially the month of August, hey man, take a next step with us. Get involved. Get connected to the life of our church. Come to Starting Point. It's the first step. Learn about the church. Hey man, go to a community group. Why do we say those things? Because There's a burden that you and I are called to carry with Jesus, but we all carry it together. Evan, you come on up. This is good news for us today. And here, at the very end, Jesus tells us how we can receive and carry this burden. Because if you're like me, you're asking the question, well, man, I want this. I don't want to carry my burden. Don't worry, Evan is a real person. He's upstairs. He's coming. They're going to get him. I thought he was in here. He's not. Because if you're like me, you're saying, God, I want to get rid of this burden, my burdens. But I want your burden. Your burden, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So how do we get this? How do we get this? Well, verse 25 tells us the answer. Jesus says, he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and here it is, and revealed them to little children. Wow. All throughout this Bible, Jesus refers to, if you want the kingdom and what I have to offer, you have to receive it as a child or like a child. Now, men, he's not telling us to be childish. Ladies, I helped you there. Not saying that. But there are really some characteristics of children that all of us recognize. Especially this one. This is one I'm going to give you two of them. Just one of them is, especially when they're real little, is that children are helpless. They're helpless. So God is telling us here, and this is hard for us because nobody in this room wants to say, I'm helpless or I can't do it. We got too much pride. Every one of us, including me. Too much pride. But Jesus is saying, you want my rest? You got to acknowledge that you're helpless. That you need him. You need his love. You need his forgiveness. You need his grace. And the other one is this. Is children are exceedingly confident that you love them. You know how I know that? It's because I'm sure it's the same with your children if you have them. Children can be incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. Painful. Frustrating. But even all that, they just assume that you love them. I know this because my 3-year-old Hudson, who's our last little baby, man, he'll do the craziest things. Stuff he knows he should not do. Bite his brothers and sisters. Throw a toy at them. I'll be sitting there talking to him. Now, Huddy, now you know, champ, you can't do this. Now you're going to have to sit in time out. We're going to have to do something. And I know he knows I extremely love him because the words come out of his mouth is, Daddy, can I have some ice cream? Sitting there saying, son, we're having a moment here. You're missing it. It's going right over your head. But he's extremely confident that daddy loves him. And at the end of the day, he's eventually going to get some ice cream. So I'll just go ahead and ask for it right now. So there's one side of this coin that, yes, we're helpless. But the other side is that even in our helplessness, this is amazing. We're extremely loved and cared for. Extremely. This is why we don't have to fear taking our junk to Jesus. We don't have to worry. Hey, he's been through it all. He knows. You're not going to surprise him. He knows what you're going through or what you are or have gone through. He says, come to me. So today, let's go to him. Maybe you're in here, you're not right with God. The first step is to go to him and say, Jesus, I give you everything that I am. I surrender. Maybe you are. You've come alive, but you're feeling this battle. Could it be that Jesus is showing you how much he loves you by the fight on the inside of you? Thank you, Lord. Well, if that's true, then keep the fight coming, sir. Because I want to be conformed to his image. Father, we love you so much. Pastor Richard, come on. Lord, we love you. Well, if that is you today, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you're not right with God, Jesus saying, come to me. Come to him. Today's your day. Don't walk out of here without going to Jesus. In a minute, we're going to have our prayer team down front. This is your chance to come and say, God, I want to give my life over to you. Two Sundays ago, a lady came down front and said, God, I said, I'm tired of living this life. I want to give it all to Jesus. That could be you today. God, help us today. God, whether it's the first time or whether we're feeling this tug of war, this civil war going on inside of us, I thank you, Lord. It's a revelation. It's an understanding. It's a tangible, something tangible you have given us to show that you love us and you're willing to fight for us. Lord, let your rest permeate our lives like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a hand.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand.